listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
So, take your Bibles, if you would, and we're going to take a look into God's Word this morning. I'm going to come at this in a unique way, and I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation. Before I dive into that passage of Scripture, can I say this morning that every one of us wrestle with stuff in our life? Some of it is small stuff. And then some of it is big stuff. I don't know in that spectrum where you are in terms of wrestling through things, but I do know this, that in the book of Genesis, I find that there is an Old Testament character, pretty important guy. His name was Jacob, and he wrestled with God. That was a good thing in his wrestling with God. Most of us wrestle with life itself. And furthermore, life and the end of life are really pretty big deals. This last few weeks, I've experienced the fact that a few of us, few in this church, have had the unique experience of watching loved ones leave this planet. And in these three cases that I'm aware of that relate to this church, these people have been promoted into the presence of God. Janie Kornman left this life. She's been a part of this church for years. Trisha's father in Arizona passed away. Kay and Sue's mother loved Jesus, and she today is in the presence of the Lord. Two of my neighbors, just recently, over the last couple weeks or few weeks, have passed away. On Valentine's Day, my cousin, who lived in Nevada, passed on. And I might add that I just got the news that on Valentine's Day as well, a great man of God, Charles Simpson, went to be with Jesus. I'd say that a good perspective on the end of days helps to shape our life. Do you have a good perspective on the end of days? Because we all face the major challenge of coming to the end of our days and knowing people who come to the end of their days. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and verse number 16 in the English Standard Version reads this way. John the Revelator said, "Then I saw heaven opened." That's a pretty amazing statement there in and of itself. John gets this vision, and heaven is open to him. That's a big deal. And he said, "Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he," I just want you to know the "he" is Jesus. He judges and makes war. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Come on, church, here's his name. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, put your hands together. Let's just applaud the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in this place this morning. I have a spoiler for you today. And it's simply this. In the end, Jesus Christ wins. The scripture tells us repeatedly and pointedly that Jesus Christ, the mighty warrior, is always victorious, without a doubt. Make no mistake about it, Jesus is going to win. Someday, the clouds will break open and we will see him on a white horse. Now, the white horse speaks of purity. It speaks of victory. So his powerful appearance will be both breathtaking and at the same time terrifying. Scripture says, listen carefully, his eyes are like a flame of fire. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Think about it. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. Make no mistake about that either. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I need you to know, in a simple word, Jesus will instantly set this world in order. That's what the Bible says. And in the end, Jesus Christ wins. You may have heard it said, or maybe you've said it yourself, that is, in the end, we win. Well, that isn't completely accurate. We do win, but we win because Jesus Christ, he wins. And only if we are in him, connected to him, is it that we win. All of history leads to Jesus' victory. I'm here to tell you that this morning. You need to know that. And in all of God's promises, they culminate in Jesus. You and I, we experience God's promises through Jesus, and we are excited about it. Let me give you an example of that. For example, do you need peace today in your life? Do you need the calm assurance that God is ultimately in control? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4 assures us that Jesus is our peace. It assures us of that. And remember, God doesn't dispense peace like a pharmacist filling out a prescription. That is, take 2 and call me in the morning. Doesn't work like that with Jesus. I'll tell you how he dispenses peace to us. He gives himself. He doesn't give us a dosage. He gives us himself. God doesn't have to give us something. He is the something. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ himself fulfills the promise of God's peace. And I'm going to give you a few things this morning of us as to how that works in our life. Number one, it is Christ's presence that takes away your fear. There's plenty of fear to go around in this world, I'm here to tell you this morning. And that is one of the reasons that we as a church endeavor to be a presence-driven church. I want to underscore that again and again, as opposed maybe to a seeker-friendly driven church. We need God's presence. We're not a group that kind of meets at a certain time and going to run through the mechanics of a meeting and then go our separate ways. We need Jesus to show up. Because when he shows up and his presence is prevalent, the Bible makes it very clear that he drives out fear from our life. Have you ever been in the presence of someone that has kind of a commanding presence and you feel rather comfortable in that presence, that your life is secure? I had a cousin once that was like that. I was maybe 10, 11 years old maybe. He was about 15, 16. I don't know about you, but a little town that we grew up in, there was all kinds of conflict going on amongst the kids, and kids would get beat up. I'd get beat up. And I want to hang around Ernie, because Ernie was bigger. When I hung around Ernie, I tell you, nobody beat me up. Being in his presence, I wasn't afraid anymore. And that's just an earthly example of what it's like when we are in Jesus' presence. There's no need to fear anymore. Fear is dispelled in his presence. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that here today. Secondly, it is Christ's sovereignty that assures and calms us in the face of doubt. Sovereignty means that Jesus is in control. Doesn't matter what goes on in this world and in our country, Jesus is still in control. He has his hands on the steering wheel. He hasn't lost control of the vehicle. And I want you to grab that truth and wrap your life around it, because his sovereignty assures us and it leads us to a calmness as we face doubts and despair. Number three, it is God's goodness that renews us when we're weighed down by these despairs. The goodness of God. The fact that he's not going to come at you and betray you, but his goodness will overtake you, the Bible says. Number four, it's Christ's watchfulness and intervention that keeps us from faltering. How many know that his eye is upon you at all times? A long time ago, there was a song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow, and he watches over you." That song came from the truth in the New Testament that brings us into a realization that Jesus' goodness and his watchfulness is over us if he can keep the sparrows in good order and the lilies in their blooming cycle, how many can have assurance that God will keep us through the deepest and the worst of things? So his watchfulness and intervention keeps us from faltering. I might add, it is Christ's victory. And that's what we've been talking about here this morning. His victory assures us that we will never fail. We're going to win this thing in Christ. So when you think about your trials and your tribulations and your issues, I want you to keep that in mind. Probably what's most difficult about the trial is not knowing. Not knowing. The biggest reason why we fear, doubt, despair, or falter is that we don't know how this is going to end. And that uncertainty keeps us off balance. Every one of us lives with a level of uncertainty. You're not alone in this struggle. You probably have some insecurities right now as you sit in this room. I too am living with some question marks, just as you are. Yours might be taking the form of a health need, maybe a fractured relationship. You're wondering how this is ever going to work out. Some of you are in deep, deep, deep financial trouble. Maybe you have a wandering child or a self-destructing family member. You're dealing with real issues. Think of all the stresses that keep you awake at night. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but think about it. How many slept the entire night through last night? What kept you awake? Those issues that linger on the edges of your thoughts, and they never seem to fully go away, even in the middle of the night. If you definitely knew when and how that circumstance would end, then you could bear the waiting. But you don't know. If you could predict with certainty that it would be that it would end in a certain way, then you could prepare yourself for that outcome. It's the not knowing that pushes you to the limit. I'm going to make an analogy here, if I can. A football team doesn't give up because they lose a few yards, right? Their focus is the final score, not one bad play. But we fixate on our momentary trials, and we wonder and we wonder and we wonder, how will this finish? If we only knew. But if the truth be known, we do know. The enemy shields us from that knowledge. God is always victorious. And ultimately, we will not fail. Poke your neighbor. Let them know we will not fail. Sure, we will experience some pains and some losses along the way, but in the end, because Jesus wins, we get to win too. But it's all about him. It's about him pulling us through. So I got a couple questions here, and then I want to say, before, in the middle of this service, Anne came to me with a paper, and God showed her some things. We're going to minister to people here today. And I just said, well, Anne, why don't you just hold on that? We're going to, that might be what God wants to do with us at the end of the service. I'm going to let her unpack that little paper. But what uncertainties this morning are you living with right now? Or what stresses keep you awake at night? I want you to know that Jesus is going to prevail. And how will knowing this change your perspective on trials in the here and now? And I think you need to choose by faith this morning to lift your eyes from the momentary trials to the final outcome. The book of Revelation, as we read it this morning, and no one can really predict all the details of how this is going to unfold, but we see Jesus, the great victor. And I need you to see him this morning that way in your life. Anne, would you come and share with us what the Lord has put on your heart? And let's see how the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us today. So she's going to come, and then in a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive ministry.
So I'm going to start with a scripture. Then I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed me. It's Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. So as I was worshiping this morning, I saw an eagle, a beautiful eagle, and he began to rise up. And he was carrying each of us on his back. And he went up and up and up, high above the storms that you were facing. Sometimes they can go 20 miles up. And the Lord said, he's giving today a divine perspective. Because I believe we need to mount up on wings like eagles and not linger amongst the trouble or the trials that we're facing, but rise up into the Lord's presence as the eagle, and we just look down because God's taking out your enemies. God is doing the fighting for you this morning. He's saying, don't despair, don't lose hope, don't be weary, don't be discouraged. There's a place of rest. And it's in living this life in relationship with him. You know, we're all facing things. Some of you, Pastor said, many, many things. And as I've been in prayer this week, a lot actually, God showed me all kinds of demonic warfare and things going on with people in this house. So we're seeing a lot of things, all kinds of challenges and things sent out to discourage the people of God. But the Lord says, But I am your conquering king. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the one that fights for you. Don't look at the natural. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the flesh and blood person that's causing you problems. Don't look at your bank balance. Don't look at your body and the health that maybe is not apparent at the moment, but look into the eyes of the living God, because He is. I am. So I want you to stand up right now. Pastor wanted us to pray for people, so we got a wonderful prayer team. So we got Dave, we got Brenda and John Lorton, different ones, and we're going to be praying for people this morning.
From the very beginning of this service to this moment, it has been the plan of God for you to walk out of this room assured that Jesus is enough. That at the end of your days, even at the end of this week, whatever the case is that you're walking through, you should have the confidence that Jesus is going to be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And at the end of the age, we've read it in the scripture that He conquers everything. But in this moment of time, you might be in a quandary. And I think this is a team effort here today. The musicians set us up with that. The Holy Spirit directed me to this message to give to you. It's confirmed with the word that Ann has just given us. And if for whatever reason, you're going through an element of defeat in your life, or you just need some encouragement for where you find yourself, you need to get out from where you are. This prayer team is here to minister to you and for you today. Worship team is going to sing. I want you to come. Some of you are needing to connect with your children, and we want to make that available to you. The ushers are going to be bringing them to you here. It's a little different mode of operation, but remember, don't abandon your kids. But at the same time, if you have needs in your life, I want you to come from where you are, and I want you to come and get ministered to today, right now, before you leave this place. Encounter Jesus in a real and mighty way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we are enjoying in your presence, because your presence drives out fear. And we embrace you today, knowing that you are going to be with us and you will not forsake us. And I pray a special anointing on this ministry team that is here ministering to people, that you will minister hope, and that despair will be driven from the lives of your people today. We counter the work of the enemy, and we say that in Jesus' name, we pronounce victory over your people. We declare this for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Come, receive ministry. If you must go, the service is dismissed. Be sure to connect with your children. And thank you for being a part of what we're experiencing today. If you need to be baptized in water, take the liberty to sign your name on that piece of paper, and we will plan for that. God bless you. Oh, and go in a great, have a great week in Jesus.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.